are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, November 30th. And today we're going to be talking about the Pistons around the community during this holiday season. But this is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like all you, and a sports newspaper reporter across the country for over a decade as well. Probably like not most of you. But anyway, thanks for the listen. Appreciate you guys spreading the word this holiday season, giving a little holiday cheer to the download numbers and all that stuff. We really appreciate that. Today, I'm going to be talking about the good news from Thursday, the breaking news about a certain injured Detroit Piston, and we're also going to be breaking down tonight's game with the Chicago Bulls and tell you why it's the one that Pistons really should be focusing on this weekend, and fans as well. We're also going to be talking to Erica Swilly, the Senior Director of Community and Social Responsibility for the Pistons, talk about some of the charity work that the team has going on this holiday season. We're also going to wrap up talking about those Golden State Warriors who are coming to town on Saturday night. But give me a follow, by the way, on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, @SCHOCH, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook, SCHOCH on that as well. But Luke Kennard returning to action tonight, basketball action in a game atmosphere as well, but not for the Detroit Pistons. He's going to be playing for the Grand Rapids Drive on Friday night, tonight, 7 o'clock at the Deltaplex over in Grand Rapids. Kind of like a baseball rehab assignment is the way I'm looking at it. He's got the shoulder, so it kind of makes a lot of sense. Like a pitcher going down there, throwing a few innings, seeing how he feels. The team, the Pistons, haven't talked about when he'll come back. They play on Saturday against the Golden State Warriors, of course, and then Monday at home against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and we will see if Luke's available for either of those. My best guess, and this is kind of out of nowhere, is that I wouldn't imagine they would not play him on a back-to-back, especially with a little bit of travel across the state there. So I'm thinking maybe Monday might be the best chance for Luke Kennard to make his return to the Pistons lineup after being out since October 25th, the fourth game of the season, when he hurt the right shoulder against the Cleveland Cavaliers after the pick from Channing Frye, the veteran there. But tonight, the Bulls are in town, and these are not exactly Jordan's Bulls. Let's just say that. Chicago bringing in its 5-17 record to downtown Detroit in Little Caesars Arena. The Bulls have lost 4 games in a row and 8 of 9, while the Pistons have won 7 of their last 9 games. So two teams obviously going in different directions. The big question is, and it's probably not much of a question, is that is there any chance that Lauri Markkanen makes his season debut from the broken thumb that he has had? Probably not, like I said, is the answer to the question. He did another full practice on Thursday here in Detroit with his team, but it sounds like Tuesday at the earliest for Markkanen's season debut, according to Darnell Mayberry of The Athletic, the fine beat writer for the Bulls and The Athletic there. And like I said, you know, if you get The Athletic, you get the subscriptions to everything. You aren't just getting the Detroit stuff. Not to plug The Athletic all the time, but Darnell, a Michigan fan, a guy that if he was covering the Pistons, you guys would certainly love his work and follow him with the Bulls stuff as well. But Chris Dunn and Bobby Portis, those guys are both out with injuries as well. Zach LaVine's just been a monster on the score sheet for the Bulls so far this season, averaging 25.6 points per game, one of the top 10 scorers in the NBA. Tailing off a little bit lately after his fantastic start to the season with individual offense, shooting more threes in the last couple games, which is definitely not his thing. He shot 14 total threes in the last 2 games, so numbers that the Bulls don't really want to see from him. He's better going to the basket, obviously one of the better penetrators in the NBA. But any possession that ends in a Zach LaVine 3 is a good one for the Pistons defense tonight. Jabari Parker, the free agent from Milwaukee who grew up in Chicago, he's actually been pretty good lately. He's starting now, unlike he was not coming off the bench earlier in the season when the Pistons were in Chicago for game 2 of this year, but scoring a lot better and playing pretty well. Ryan Archie Diacono, you remember him from the Villanova National Championship games game a few years back. He has had 22 points in 2 straight games for the Bulls. Ryan Archie Diacono is one of the most formidable offensive players for the Chicago Bulls this season. Is he good? No, he's not. But these are the kind of things that happen when you're this bad of a roster. Guys like Ryan Archie Diacono go out there and score a bunch of points in a couple games. They are NBA players. He is an NBA player, barely. And he can do good things on a basketball court, clearly. But I would bet lots of money that he doesn't go for 20 points tonight for the third straight game. And if anyone's out, wants to take that bet out there, we can settle up. Just slide into my DMs and we'll chat that one out. Bad news for local fans. Denzel Valentine of Lansing, he is out for the season. The news came this week that the former Michigan State star will not return this year from an ankle surgery. He actually didn't play at all this year, but it didn't sound like it was all that serious, maybe early on, that he might be coming back. Well, he never did play, and now he's shelved with surgery. The 14th pick in the 2016 draft out of Michigan State. Through 2 years with Denzel, it's not going so great. He did average 10 points a game last year, so a little bit of an uptick in production for that young team that they had after kind of folding up the tent from the Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler era the year before that. But, man, of a franchise that back then, and that's when there was a lot of consternation around this team and this front office, and there still is in Chicago, but it just felt like that was a team and a franchise that needed to take a big swing, and they kind of settled on Denzel with that 14th pick, who's a nice player, fills some holes and will fill some roles going forward as an NBA guy off the bench, but just not enough what that team was looking for, especially when, you know, they were trying to round out a roster that had Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo and Jimmy Butler. But most of the fans and the smart ones knew even back then that that wasn't really a team that was going anywhere and that they probably needed to retool. And even if they weren't going to retool, they probably needed to swing for the fences, even if they thought that what they were doing was going in the positive direction towards winning a championship, because you can always use really good players as opposed to solid role players, especially if you're a franchise and needs a little bit of a change in direction. But Wendell Carter Jr. been pretty good for them so far as a rookie, so maybe things are moving in a little bit of the right direction. But with Gar Foreman and John Paxson, really a couple of guys that are running the show there in Chicago that really have the fans kind of on edge and really hoping for change kind of going forward. And who knows what that means for the future of this team with those guys, and also for the future of Fred Hoiberg, who might be coaching his last season in Chicago, as it's predictably kind of going down the toilet, going down the drain already early on in the season. That means a good thing for the Pistons. We're going to see these guys two more times going forward. Already got one win against the Bulls, and could be in pretty good position tonight to clean up with win number two against the Chicago Bulls if they're not looking ahead to Saturday night's game against the Golden State Warriors. But up next, we're going to talk to Erica Swilly, Senior Director of Community and Social Responsibility for the Pistons, talk about some of the charity work that some of the guys have coming up this holiday season and her job in general of getting those guys out to a lot of those events in the community. We're going to talk about the Golden State Warriors game a little bit later on as well. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite podcasts. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and more earning power. What's up, fellas? Keep it going. Than traditional media audiences out there. Have your company go ahead and sponsor this podcast. If you're interested, email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by Erica Swilly, the Senior Director of Community and Social Responsibility for the Detroit Pistons. Erica, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Thanks for having me.
And obviously, we got the holiday season upon us here, and the Detroit Pistons, like many large organizations, are out there doing what they can to help out. And you guys have the Season of Giving holiday events coming up. Why don't you tell us about what's in store for some of the players and other members of the franchise that are going to be out in the community?
Yeah, Season of Giving is probably our busiest time of year. We do have a lot going on in the community. We tipped off our Season of Giving a couple weeks ago by doing a Thanksgiving event with four different shelters. We served a Thanksgiving meal there and then also gave grants to alleviate shelter needs. We sent all of our players out, divided them into two different teams, and each team went to visit two shelters. So that was really nice. And then on Monday, this past Monday, Stanley Johnson, Glenn Robinson, and Kyrie Thomas all went to Say Detroit Play Center off of 7 Mile and Van Dyke. We have a program called Building Bridges Through Basketball. It helps to kind of give kids positive interactions with police officers. It's a 10-week program. So they made a drop-in. This is the second time that they have visited these kids and interacted with them. They took place in the module about respect was this week. And then they surprised the kids with a pizza party and then tickets to our game on Friday. We then have an event on December 6th. We are trying to engage our season ticket members because what we realized is that our employees were giving back, our players were giving back, but the season ticket holders are just as much a part of our family as anybody. So it was important for us to get them involved in our community efforts and initiatives. So we are having them go to Eastern Market, and we are going to have them put together 500 care packages to send to military personnel for the holidays, as well as put together 1,000 basketball for all packages. We then have 500 youth from the Detroit Parks and Rec coming to pick up those packages of basketballs and then participate in some holiday activities with season ticket members and our players. That should be a lot of fun.
Cool that you're getting the season ticket holders involved as well. Kind of an interesting spin on it. And I'm sure they appreciate the vehicle for helping out too as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they always say, you know, we see you guys doing great things in the community, but we'd love to get involved. So we hope that, you know, a lot of them will come join us and have a good time. And then from there, Coach Casey and his wife, Brenda, came to me and said that it was important for them to adopt some kids for the holidays. So we partnered with Pure Heart Foundation. Pure Heart Foundation works with kids whose parents have been incarcerated, at least one parent, sometimes both. So we are bringing 35 youth between the ages of 10 and 15 to our practice facility. They are going to receive a brunch where they're going to be able to sit down and talk one-on-one with Coach Casey as well as our other coaches. Then we're going to surprise them and bring them to what we're going to call like a gifting suite. They're going to get some cool Pistons gear. We got JBL headphones from Andre Drummond. He donated those. Langston Galloway is donating shoes for each of the kids. We got personalized jerseys, just a whole bunch of cool different gifts for the kids, including gift cards to Meijer, who's our season to giving sponsor. So that should be a lot of fun that day. And then they'll get to actually watch practice and interact with the team, which not a lot of people get to do.
Yeah, that's great. And I love that it's kind of personalized with we know Langston Galloway's infatuation with the shoes and then, of course,
right.
Andre Drummond's music career as well. So and I also like that the Say Detroit Play Center as a member of the media myself, that's Mitch Albom's group that they started in Detroit. So nice that ties in with that as well. But like we mentioned Andre and Langston there, and we had the story over the weekend from the Detroit Free Press of Reggie Bullock, whose sister was killed a few years back and has been involved in causes to promote awareness and equality for the LGBT community over these past few months in particular. And I know that you've worked with him a little bit there too. How is the process for you as the director of community and social responsibility to, you know, I'm imagining a lot of your job is getting to know these guys, their backgrounds and stories and matching them up and trying to help them, you know, find those causes that are important to them.
Absolutely. I try to get to know them, their family as well. I always say that our players don't know what they don't know. They're young. They're in their early 20s. And I don't know if I knew in my early 20s what, you know, my social cause was going to be or what I wanted to champion. But it comes along with them being NBA players. So I find when there is that genuine connection that it's more authentic. They enjoy doing it. And when they realize the platform that they have to give back, I mean, it's mind-blowing. So Reggie, I know, wanted to use his sister's death as something to help others, and he just didn't kind of know how to go about it. So once I talked to him, heard his story, I was like, if you're willing to get the help from us, you know, we will definitely make those connections for you and help you as we can. Stanley Johnson lost his mother to breast cancer. So letting him know that, you know, if you work with different groups like Susan G. Komen or Game on Cancer or different organizations around town, like lending your name and support goes a long way. And it's that personal connection and you're helping, you know, to keep your mom's memory alive and things of that sort. So when I'm able to find, you know, things that they directly have affected them and how they can help others, it makes my job, I don't want to say easier, but it helps, you know, get them involved.
Yeah, a little more fulfilling, I would imagine.
In a meaningful way.
Yeah, and I know that Reggie Jackson, while, you know, just to piggyback on that, has been involved in a lot of literacy types of campaigns. It seems like a kind of a topic that strikes a chord with him.
So yeah, Reggie Jackson actually was a military brat. So the reason that he gravitates to building literacy lounges was he said that because he moved around so much as a kid and had to, you know, get pulled from school, that, you know, books were like kind of his friend. You know, he was able to read about different places and different things, and he took comfort in reading, and he wants to make sure that kids have spaces where they can read and learn like he did.
Now, Erica Swilly joining us here on Locked On Pistons, the Senior Director of Community and Social Responsibility. Sounds like you have, like I said, a fulfilling job working with these guys, and I'll attest to being around them over these last few weeks that seems like a good group of guys, and I'm sure you can attest to that as well. But what's kind of your background, and how did you get involved in this position and involved with the Detroit Pistons?
Yeah, no, I have a great group of guys. I'm very lucky. But I have always kind of had interesting internships and jobs where I never really worked a true 9-to-5, and I always kind of worked in the entertainment fields. But I knew I wanted to do something where I could help give back to others. My mother is a therapist and a social worker, so I saw her doing a lot of work growing up in the community. And I had an opportunity back in 2005 to join the Pistons as their assistant in the department. And when I was able to see how sport could, you know, also go hand in hand with social impact and the platform that our players have and that we have, I was completely drawn to it, and so have made it a career and have kind of worked my way up. I have worked with different teams. So while I started with the Pistons, I left in 2010, and I've been back for about 3 years with the team.
Well, Erica Swilly, the Senior Director of Community and Social Responsibility, thanks for taking the time. Keep up the good work, and have a happy holidays yourself.
You as well. Thank you.
In case you were hoping that maybe the season was over, it is not, and the Detroit Lions are taking on the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday. I will be in the house at Ford Field. Don't get too jealous, but check out Locked On Lions, by the way. Matt Derry, he's the host of that. You know him from Detroit Radio. He's got everything you need to know about the Lions on a daily basis, the crossover episodes that they do every week. I got to check out the one this week. I have not yet, but just hilarious, I would imagine. What do you think? Who's going to win that Rams-Lions game? And, of course, me and my brother were joking today. Of course, this will probably be the game that somehow the Lions play great and pull it off despite not having really any wide receivers left at this point. And also check out the Isaiah Hole Locked On Wolverines podcast and my buddy Will Hunter with the Locked On Spartans podcast as well. Also wanted to point out the Pistons are 9.5-point favorites tonight against the Bulls, and no line yet for Saturday against the Warriors, which makes sense. I wanted to make sure that I connected with my degenerates out there, spread the lines. Keep doing what you're doing, guys. Good luck to you this weekend on MyBookie. But we took some time on Thursday's show talking about the stars of the Warriors and Stephen Curry's return. He's going to be coming back from a few weeks of an injury. Check out Thursday's podcast if you want to get more details on that. But I wanted to touch on the rest of Steve Kerr's roster heading into Saturday's game against the Pistons, the only visit for the Warriors over here in Detroit. Damian Jones has stepped into the Zaza Pachulia Memorial fifth starter role, third-year dude out of Vandy. And that's what he is. He's just a dude, a body out there. We'll see if DeMarcus Cousins comes in and steps into that fifth starter role sometime later on in the season. But this is largely the same bench as before that we remember from the playoffs last year and the last couple of years. Quinn Cook, Kevon Looney, Livingston, all those guys. But one of the new faces is an old face and a handsome face at that, a familiar face for the Detroit Pistons and their fans, Jonas Jerebko. And I know that a lot of people call him Jonas Jerebko. I'm sticking with Jonas because that's what we called him here back in the day with the Pistons. Not really sure exactly what it is these days, but It was a tough run during the Jonas Jerebko era for Pistons fans. It has been a tough decade for all of us, and I was living out of state for a lot of it, so thank God for that during the Jonas Jerebko era with the Pistons. But back me up on this, and go ahead and leave me a voicemail or send a text to 810-666-1546. Text or call. Let me know what you think about this opinion I have here. Jonas Jerebko, whoever you want to call him. We're going to call him Jonas. He got traded in a move that got Tayshaun Prince back to Detroit in 2015. This was the same three-way deal that moved Isaiah Thomas from Boston to, I'm sorry, from Phoenix to Boston, where we know that the next year he turned into a real force for the Celtics there as the leader of that team for a couple seasons. So this was at the 2015 trade deadline. This was the same day that Stan Van Gundy swung the deal at the deadline for Reggie Jackson from Oklahoma City for all sorts of spare parts that went that way. Kyle Singler, DJ Augustine et al. Jonas at this time, so this was a separate deal. Jonas was 27 at this time, an expiring contract at this point, and the Pistons also lost Gigi Datome in that deal, the legendary Luigi Datome. I know you guys, the posters are probably still up in your room. The tears might be still flowing from the trade that got Gigi out of Detroit. But long story short, the Pistons added money. They took on money in the deal. Both Prince and Jonas were expiring that year. The Pistons are 21-33, probably kind of flailing, grasping at lost straws. The Reggie Jackson deal is one that, it's a polarizing one as we look back. But the Pistons ended up going 32-50 that season. Now, I'm guessing, I'm having a little bit of revisionist history. I'm trying to figure out why Stan Van Gundy would make that deal. And the best thing I can come up with is probably just to sell some tickets. Maybe see if there's something left in the tank with Tayshaun. But like I said, if you're giving up lesser salary and the better player with Jonas at 27, Prince at 34, you'd think you'd get something for that in the deal. Even if it was just, you know, Phoenix or Boston tossing a second-round pick, you're that way. You're basically in that deal, it seems, to make it work for both of those other franchises, make the salaries match up, all that good stuff. But normally when you're accommodating teams across the league, you should be going ahead and getting something for it. Now, maybe this has something to do with Marcus Morris coming over in a trade that offseason because maybe you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of thing from Phoenix where the Pistons ended up getting a nice deal and able to in order to take on the Marcus Morris contract. So maybe that has something to do with it there because, like, as you saw, there's some value in having expiring guys on your contract, obviously with the fact that they're expiring. But if you want to look forward and possibly bring those guys back, we see that he was expiring that year, but Jonas came back and signed the next 2 years in Boston. So that's kind of the advantage of having a guy on your team when he expires. He's got his stuff there in town. Maybe he doesn't want to move, and maybe he enjoys his time with the organization. Maybe you can bring him back. Maybe I'm forgetting something from this time. Keep in mind, I'm in the Virgin Islands at this point. Again, not a daily watcher of the Pistons at this point. I'm, you know, interested with Reggie Jackson and checked out probably those first few games with him on the team. But we remember that Jonas was a really good rookie for the Pistons. All rookie team had the Achilles injury after that. But then I understand became a disappointment before. But the year before he was dealt in 2013-14, Jonas was 42% from three for the Pistons, 39% the year that they dealt him. So still very good. And I know I'm talking right now that Jonas is heading straight to Springfield, Massachusetts in the Hall of Fame after his career. And I know that's a funny thought that I'm spending more than a couple of minutes talking about Jonas Jerebko and how the Pistons could let him slip away in the deal. But and I know the Pistons traded Singler that day, so maybe they thought they were thin at three and needed some help on the wing. But again, I'll make the same point. Jerebko and Prince, pretty much the same position, and Jerebko's younger and better, 27 years old, 34 years old. Prince became a Piston that year for the last time in his career and was on his third team that season. Already went from Memphis to Boston to Detroit. He was in the middle of a free fall off the cliff that his career was going down at that point, and ended up playing one more year with Minnesota where he was just horrific and didn't really play anymore. And again, I'm probably downplaying the Pistons fans or some Pistons fans' romantic feelings and connection towards Tayshaun Prince's career. I understand that he won a ring. I understand he was a part of great times. And there's even a faction of Pistons fans out there that might want Tayshaun Prince's jersey up in the rafters someday. Maybe that's a discussion we could have. I remember George Blaha mentioned that on this podcast, actually. I remember hearing him at some point talking about that. I disagree. We'll see. Let me know. 810-666-1546. Why did the Pistons make that deal? Am I underselling how important Tayshaun Prince was to a lot of you guys out there? Or is Stan Van Gundy just kind of thinking, we need to sell some tickets? Why did they do that deal? What was that all about? So let me know and think about this weekend as you're watching. Jonas Jerebko saved the Golden State Warriors season this year. Also wanted to pass along, Draymond Green will not be playing this weekend in Detroit as well. So disappointing for the city of Saginaw and the Michigan State community who might wanted to come check out their boy in Draymond. But maybe someday I have this, and it's not a unique theory, but I have this theory that at some point, and I'm not talking about breaking the bank this offseason or making a deal or something like that, but I think Draymond Green will pull a Chris Webber and play in Detroit, play for the Pistons at some point down the road, probably very near the end of his career on a pretty cheap contract. Not something that's going to be a huge part of the Pistons' future or anything like that, but I think we'll see Draymond play for the Stones at one point. I'm looking forward to it as myself right here. What would you think about that? Put that in your message that you're going to use the number, the Google voicemail line to let us know about. But that's going to do it. We've rambled enough about Jonas Jerebko here to wrap up the week on the Locked On Pistons podcast and also wrap up the month of November. Thanks to you guys for driving up some of the download numbers. We really appreciate that. Spread the word. Enjoy the game tonight against the Bulls. If you're there, say hi to me. I'll be there courtside in Rod Beard's chair. He will be there too, by the way. He's back. So go ahead and send Rod your welcome backs and all that stuff. He was on a trip. So good to see him back. And enjoy the weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening. And we will talk to you guys next week here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.